Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, professor, graduate studies director, and director of American Studies in Baylor Journalism, Public Relations, and New Media. She joined Baylor in 2001 and has maintained an active research portfolio in addition to her teaching and leadership roles. Her research focuses include media framing of people of color, women, and political candidates, the pros and cons of social media and political campaigns, and she's examined how historical stereotypes are found in current social media platforms. The author or co-author of four books, Dr. Moody Ramirez, has also been widely published in a variety of academic and industry journals. She was honored with the Outstanding Woman in Journalism Award by the Association for Education in Journalism and Mass Communication, and this summer she received the organization's Lionel Barrow Jr. Award for Distinguished Achievement in Diversity Research and Education. Very busy, and she's with us today on the program. Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, thanks so much for joining us today. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you for that introduction. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, let's start off with a broad question. In your specific field of journalism, what is it about teaching, researching, and mentoring others that you find most appealing, most invigorating, and also most important?
Well, I love discussing current events with my students and trying to figure out a way to incorporate current events into research projects. I think it's important to keep up with timely topics and to make sure there's some type of news angle. That goes back to my reporter days. So I always try to find some type of news angle in my research. And there is so much going on right now that it is very easy to find something to write about. There is not a shortage of research topics. I also like to help students gain the skills that they need to succeed if they want to go on to graduate school or if they're already in graduate school and they'd like to build a research agenda. I think it's very important for them to choose a research topic that will pique their interest because they will stick with that topic and they will continue to research it long term. And I think the more time they spend on a topic, the more fun they will have with it. So to me, it's very important to work with students to help them find something that's of interest to them. And one of my favorite quotes is, getting the most out of life isn't about how much you keep for yourself, but how much you pour into others. So I do think it's important to give back and to mentor students. I have collaborated with numerous students on projects. I've had students help write chapters for books that I've published. So I do think it's important to work with students and give them the skills that they need to succeed.
You know, you teach a fun and important topic in journalism. And I'm sure there's never been a time in teaching that it wasn't important or interesting. But you think about where we are now when there's kind of new frontiers in different media outlets, in the ways people communicate. We debate, you know, the tenor and tone of public discourse. We talk about, you know, there's more outlets now for maybe traditional underserved people to have their voice heard. Is now a particularly fun and important time from your standpoint to be teaching this?
Yes, I think now is more important than ever because we are in a social movement. We have several movements that are going on right now, Black Lives Matter, the women's movement, several other movements, and I just think it's important for students to be a part of that, to write about it, to document what's going on, and also what's going on with social media. Previously, we had gatekeepers in place who monitored what would be released to the general public, but now with social media, anyone can get out there and have a platform to disseminate information. So that is a huge change, a huge difference. So we have to teach students how to look at information to judge whether it's credible, and then also how to research these new platforms. So we've transferred from researching newspaper articles and broadcast transcripts to social media platforms. So a study today would look very different from a study 10 or 15 years ago. So today we may choose, say, Twitter or Facebook, and then we would create a sample, come up with a certain number of tweets or Facebook posts, and then look at some general themes that emerge, and then also tone, positive, negative, or neutral.
Visiting with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez from Baylor Journalism, Public Relations, and New Media. When did the journalism and writing bug first capture you? What was it about that field that really spoke to you as a young person?
Well, at first, spoke to me when I was a teenager, and growing up, I loved reading books, and I told my mother I would like to write books one day. I'd like to be a book author, And my mother told me, that's wonderful. That's a great aspiration. However, you need to do something where you can actually earn a living. So that was why I decided to go into journalism. And I loved it. That's how I ended up in Waco. I moved here in 1990 to write for the Waco Tribune Herald. And I wrote for the Tribune Herald for 6 years before going back to graduate school and moving on to teaching journalism.
But what sparked that transition from working in the field to wanting to teach it and have that role?
Primarily after I had my daughter. I love journalism. I love being able to go out and learn something new every day and interview new people and learn about different topics. However, once I had my daughter, it was a little more difficult because of the hours. We usually worked every holiday, and we worked long hours for political campaigns and that type of thing, covering campaigns and going out and covering elections. So that became a little more difficult once I became a mother. So I wanted to remain in the news industry. However, it was difficult for me to become a reporter.
Visiting with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, and we mentioned some of your key areas of research at the top of the program: media framing, social media, stereotypes, issues of gender and race, and others. Let's start off broadly. What drives your research? What are the contributions you're looking to make to our understanding of media through some of these topics?
Usually the thing that drives my research is what's going on at that time, what's going on in the news. For example, I have a book about 9/11. And I looked at representations of racial profiling before and after 9/11. And so that was actually spurred by 9/11, the 9/11 incident. Another example was after going through a divorce, I decided to write about the independent black woman because that was going on in my life. And another example is Black Lives Matter. That's very prominent right now in our culture. So I began writing about that, and I have a book that focuses on representations of Black Twitter and Black Lives Matter.
It seems like things like analyzing the framing, portrayal of women and minorities, just to name a couple of things, would be a tremendous undertaking. What are some of the ways you focus on specific areas, and then how do you go about compiling the data, finding the data that you need?
Usually I begin with just a traditional literature review where I look at what is already out there, what's been published on the topic. And once I get a sense for what's published on the topic, then I choose a platform to study, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, any other social media platform. Then I choose a sample and look at what's prevalent in that sample. I look at tone. I look at themes that are prominent, just to get a sense of what's going on surrounding that particular topic and how it's represented on social media platforms.
Let's talk about that a little bit. One of your recent research studies was analyzing old stereotypes as they're found on social media. You know, unfortunately, some of these old stereotypes persist no matter what the medium is, what the forum is. What are some of the things you found? How has social media impacted the dissemination or even the pushback against some of these stereotypes?
Well, originally, researchers thought with social media, we would see more positive representations of underrepresented groups. And we do see that in a sense. We do see more positive representations. However, we're seeing some of those historical representations that we haven't seen in a long time, such as blackface representations, women in very passive roles. And some of those stereotypes have not been around as much in traditional or mainstream media platforms. However, on social media platforms where people do not have that gatekeeper in place, we are seeing some of these old stereotypes resurface. One study that I looked at in particular was representations of former President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama, and we looked at some of the stereotypes that were used to portray him while he was in office. And we found that he and his family were represented as animals, very animalistic. Also, in stereotypes that you see of African Americans, like representations of him drinking grape soda, eating fried chicken. So some of those stereotypes that we wouldn't see in mainstream media outlets, those were very prevalent on social media platforms.
You know, when we take some of these ugly parts of it, like you just described, you know, there's also that balance, and that you said there's also that gatekeeper taken away so that people can have are able to speak that weren't able to. How do you balance that? If you talk to your students about the bad and the good. What are some of the things you want them to take away from some of what you just discussed?
Yes, well, and I touched on this before. You see both positive and negative. So whereas you have these negative representations, on the other side, you have citizens who can respond. They don't have to write a news release and send it to a newspaper. They can disseminate their own information. So they can respond to these negative representations and say, you know, these representations are not appropriate. Also, on social media platforms, people can report what they see if they find something offensive. Facebook, Twitter, they have guidelines in place. So citizens also play a role in monitoring and helping curb some of that hate speech.
You know, when you describe some of those really ugly things that people said on social media about President Obama and his family, you know, that's just one example of many that's out there that
yes.
people have to deal with sometimes. How should we as a society think about this? What are some things that we as a society, as we're all, I think, adjusting to the frontiers of social media and the
yes.
way it impacts everything we deal with, what are some things we can take away from that?
I think we can just kind of reflect on what we can do as an individual. And with social media, once again, we actually have the power to make a difference. We can share messages that are in response to these negative messages. We can also control the platforms that we use, control the messages that we receive. It's just like in the old days when people would say, if you don't like what's on TV, just turn it off. Well, on social media, it's the same way. Some people are in favor of having a diverse feed where you have many different viewpoints. Other people are in favor of having a less diverse feed where they only see viewpoints that they agree with. And I think that's the great thing about social media. It is individualistic. You do get to decide, you know, do you want to see those diverse messages or would you prefer to have a more peaceful feed? So really, it's up to the person. Also, if you're an activist, you can share messages on social media. You can encourage change. That's another thing that I tell my students. Change begins with the person in the mirror. If you're very gung-ho and you want to help foster change, then you can actually make a difference using your social media platforms.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting today with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, Professor, Graduate Studies Director, and Director of American Studies in Baylor Journalism, Public Relations, and New Media. Maybe this is an obvious question, but how much is social media a little bit of a mirror, even a light into hidden corners? Because you were talking about some of these ugly representations weren't
yes.
seen in traditional media, but it also seems like with social media, maybe it exposes things that people that were swept under a rug
yes.
a little bit,
yes.
but were always lurking there.
Yeah, so that's one thing that we think. You know, these viewpoints were always there. Social media platforms have just made them more visible. Maybe before people felt a certain way, but they were not going to, of course, write an article or write an editorial and have it published in the newspaper. But when you're publishing on a social media platform, you're kind of hidden. So you don't have to, people don't necessarily know who you are. So you do have some anonymity. And I think people find that attractive. If they can share a message and people not know who they are, I think they may share some messages they wouldn't otherwise share.
Visiting with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, and you know, we're talking about social media, and that's the new media in Baylor's
yes.
Department of Journalism, Public Relations, and New Media. You've watched these online outlets grow. You know, you got here in 2001 to
yes.
Baylor, which was really just before the proliferation of all this. What impact is that changing media landscape? You talked at the beginning of the show about how you look for current things to inform
mm-hmm.
your teaching. How has that changed the way you teach students?
New media have changed the way we teach our courses. We have to keep up with the trends. Previously, we would create a syllabus and we would be able to use it for maybe a year or 2 years. Now we have to update them each semester because mm-hmm. it's changing. Everything is changing so rapidly that we have to keep up with the trends. And we know that it's important for our students to be well-rounded. So today we teach our students to make sure they're armed with the skills that they need to succeed in journalism. And we also tell them to keep in mind that the platforms are changing, so they don't necessarily have to know how to use every platform, but they do need to know how to be effective storytellers, and they do need to be well-rounded. So when I first started working as a journalist, I only needed to write newspaper articles. I didn't have to take pictures. I didn't need to go and shoot video footage. However, today, a student needs to be able to shoot footage, they need to be able to write, and they need to be able to take good photos. So they definitely have to be well-rounded, and this is probably the biggest difference from when I was a young cub reporter. That's one of the biggest changes.
You know, as we talk about the going back to the research you're doing now, we've talked about one piece of it, but what are some other projects or another project that's really stood out to you as one that has meant a lot to you to be a part of?
Currently, I'm finishing up a book project that focuses on image repair, race, gender, and media. And so image repair is another topic that I have researched quite a bit. I have several articles published in journals on image repair, and it's more important now than ever because people can disseminate information on social media platforms. So you may have a celebrity, a politician, or an athlete who has a stellar reputation, and with just one tweet or one post on Facebook, they can damage their image. And so that's where image repair comes into play. And so with our articles, we look at how an individual can repair his or her image using different tactics, such as denial, mortification, restoration of an image. So those are some of the things that we look at with image repair. So that's my most recent project, and I have a book that's coming out in November on that topic that I'm excited about.
Well, I don't want to give away everything because we got to let people let the surprise come.
Yes.
But what are some of the ways, maybe if there's some you can share now? You know, obviously there are some people who do some pretty deplorable things on the internet, but there are some people who maybe a lapse in judgment or a miss, or they said something in a way they didn't intend to, or maybe it was misconstrued. What are some of the ways that maybe normal people, if you will, or just even people who are in public figures can bounce back from something like that?
The most important thing would be to apologize. So mortification is the best strategy to use in these cases. So the first thing would be to apologize if you are in fact guilty. If you're not guilty, then you need to prove that you're not guilty. Also, if there's something that's been done that's damaging to a person, you need to help restore that relationship with that person. But one thing that we found is that people are quick to forgive. In the United States, people will forgive. However, if you continue the same behavior, then they're going to be less likely to forgive.
Yeah, if it's a pattern there.
Yeah, if there's a pattern.
Visiting with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, and as we talk about your research, you know, I don't want to lose sight of the teaching and the role that plays in it as well. What role do students play in the research that you do? As you talk about your class really having to stay on the cutting edge, I would think there's a lot of opportunity for students to be involved in that aspect of what you're doing.
Well, I am the graduate program director, so I work directly with a lot of graduate students, and research is very important for our graduate students. It's actually a requirement before they graduate. We expect for each one of them to have presented at a conference or to have submitted a paper to a journal. So research is very important. We know that many of them want to go on and become professors, so research is important for them. But it's also important for undergraduate students, and I also work with undergraduate students at Baylor. Each year I take students to URSA, which is our Undergraduate Scholars Day, and these are students who are in my gender, race, and media class who have researched a topic of interest, and they've actually completed a project that's worthy of presentation at URSA Scholars Day.
What are some of the things you work to impart in students as they do the research, both short-term as they're doing the project, and some of those long-term takeaways that you want them to get from it?
Well, I want them to choose a topic that they think that they can write about long-term, something that is of interest to them, but I also want them to choose a topic that they think is important, a topic that can make a difference in someone's life. The topics that they choose are usually are cutting edge. They usually are something that's timely, something that's being covered in the media. I've had students write about gender representations, like how they've evolved historically and if they've gotten better. And the findings vary. You know, sometimes findings will show that representations are getting better. It really depends on the platform. You know, when you're looking at social media, Pinterest is geared more towards women. So sometimes the representations are better on Pinterest versus Twitter. Twitter, the representations may be a little more negative in nature. And Facebook, which is geared more towards family, representations can be more neutral. So a lot of times it just depends on the platform. But as I said previously, I do want them to find a topic that's of interest to them and something that they can spend time on researching long term.
As you think about Baylor journalists going out into the world, covering this world in which we live, what do you want to be the hallmarks of if someone who's out there doing this to say, hey, that's a Baylor journalist, that's someone who was trained here and we're proud of what they're doing?
Well, I think also underlying many of these messages is religion and Christianity and knowing that they do have the power to make a difference in these topics. Many times we're covering topics that maybe journalists are not aware. Maybe they're not aware that they're using stereotypes, and citizens are not aware of how they're using social media platforms in a negative way. And so maybe just the act of us covering these topics and writing about these topics, someone will pick up an article and learn, this is not good. And this is, if they're aware of the biases that they bring to the table, those underlying beliefs that they have, then they can be more direct in their coverage and try to be more objective. And so I think that our students can make an impact or make a difference in the articles that they write just by choosing to spotlight certain issues.
Visiting with Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, and as we close, I want to brag on you a little bit. This summer, you were awarded the Lionel Barrow Jr. Award for Distinguished Achievement in Diversity Research and Education. And congratulations on that, first of all. And also, what does it mean to you to be able to be a role model, whether it's to your students here at Baylor or to be able, even beyond that, to advocate for women and minority students in this field of communication?
Well, it was an honor and a privilege to accept the award this summer. Winning the award was particularly important to me because I actually met Dr. Barrow before he passed away, and he was just a wonderful person. And what struck me the most about Dr. Barrow is that he saw a need for diversity in journalism, and he set out to make a difference. And so it's good to see someone who has a dream and a goal and be able to achieve that goal. And it's my goal to be more like Dr. Barrow and to be able to make a difference in the lives of students.
Well, congratulations on extending Dr. Barrow's legacy and that award. Very much certainly. Well, we are out of time on the program. Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, I've enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to talk with you today, Derek.
Dr. Mia Moody Ramirez, Professor, Graduate Studies Director, and Director of American Studies, our guest today from Baylor Journalism, Public Relations, and New Media. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online. You can subscribe on iTunes and get them on your mobile device, or you can go online, baylor.edu/connections.